Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
Faith and obedience. These two work together for our good. Romans 8:28 tells us that God works all things together for our good as partners in our labor. We are partners with God in going through this life, so faith and obedience is obviously something that we have to hone in on. Joshua 1:1 through 9, like the two wings of a bird, like the two oars of a boat, both essential to its proper movement, are the two principles of faith and obedience, which are linked together in a rightly regulated Christian life, and which are interwoven in the opening scenes of the book of Joshua. The watchword of faith, the land of promise, was won by faith. Every step was a step of faith. The Jordan was crossed by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed 7 days. By faith, Rahab was saved and perished not with them who believed not. By faith, every victory was achieved in their onward progress until at last Caleb had claimed the heights of Hebron and Joshua had reached his inheritance at Timnath-Serah. Here we have some of the features of faith most strongly emphasized. We have the present tense of faith. Joshua 1:2, "The land I'm about to give you to the Israelites," God here speaks in the immediate present. It is not something he is going to do, but something he does do this moment. So faith ever speaks, so God ever gives, and we ever listen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, in this present moment, our faith is in continuance on God, knowing Him, even though we do other things. This is what it means to pray continually, without ceasing, as 1 Thessalonians says, is that we are always conscious of God, even if we go about what we do. We have an open line where we are sensitive if He moves to something. The test of faith, so long as you are waiting for a thing, hoping for it, looking for it, you're not believing. It may be hope, it may be earnest desire, but it is not faith. For faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Isn't that wonderful that we can be certain of it, though we don't see it yet? That's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is that which is not yet revealed to the senses, to our touch, our taste, our eyes, our understanding. So here we see some other faculties at work, and that's the faculties of the Spirit, which will be heightened in the resurrection when we get a glorified body. Those will be the major ones that we have, and they will be advanced. So God meets us first in the future tense, as He did Abraham, Genesis 17:2. "I will confirm my covenant between me and you." But He brings us immediately, if we are willing, into the present tense. So we read in Genesis 17:4, "As for me, this is my covenant with you." There must come a moment in our life when we really receive Christ as our Savior. And in that moment, we are saved. There must come a crisis hour when you yield yourself to Him and take Him as your sanctifier. When the Holy Spirit is moving on you, you move into this realization of living a life in a different perspective and obeying the promptings of the Spirit. From that moment, you are being sanctified. The command in regard to believing prayer is in the present tense. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Mark 11:24. When we approach God through the atonement, through understanding what he has done for us, we're acting in our position of being in that grace with him. And we can ask him for illumination and for guidance and his favor in everything that we do. Because then we are no longer, we are under the dominance of the evil forces, but we are shielded from that. And this is our buffer against the strikes of Satan, is our attentiveness in prayer to the God everlasting in the now. We have the next perfect tense of faith. We see this in the third verse. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses, Joshua 1:3. The present has now become the perfect tense. That which but a moment ago was the present is now the perfect tense. But so in Genesis 17:5, we find the present tense passing into the perfect and God saying, "For I have made you a father of many nations," he says to Abraham. "I have made you. I have made you." This is perfectly consistent. God cannot repeat himself or allow his words to be of no effect. When he speaks, it is done. When he commands, it stands fast. And he is pleased to have us recognize his work as perfect and his word as everlasting, and step out into it in unfaltering confidence. So find in him the grace to do everything you need and to be open to the variances that he will bring. Speaking in his own word of Jesus as the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world, Revelation 13:8, although it was not actually fulfilled until the world was 4,000 years old, but his purpose and his promise were counted fulfilled, and God speaks in the language of faith and certainty. We have the imperative mood of faith, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. This is the faith that falters not, fears not, refuses to be dismayed, but with defiant courage goes forth and faces every foe. It says with Isaiah 57, "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. But with Paul, however, I consider my life worth nothing." Acts 20:24. So he's experiencing the grace of God and seeing things in a different perspective and realizing the natural realm, our natural faculties really fall short of that. That's why he said, "I come not to you in convincing language and speech, that you may, your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Because he had experienced that there is a life that's much more dynamic with God, something that transcends every evil, and that brings all grace and goodness and advances that also for other people. Acts 20:24, "I consider my own life worth nothing to me, that I will in no way be ashamed, so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body." Philippians 1:20, "Because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." 2 Timothy 1:12. It's a song that we love to sing in regard to that. Our faith must not only be real, but it must be strong. Sometimes it must be audacious. The faintest fear will paralyze it. And so sometimes we feel ourselves fluctuating, not necessarily wavering, but when fear comes and anxiety comes, the mind becomes impeded from a straight single thought. We cannot take hold of things. We're becoming fuzzy. But we know that in our faith that God pulls us back too, because he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of courage and of love and of a sound mind. And it's that sound mind that we need in order to make a decision. When something suddenly hits you and makes you fearful or anxious, you have to pray before you're going to be able to think straight about it, make any kind of decision. And he will bring thoughts to your mind. He will assure you of things. His grace is there. And pretty soon you feel like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought, and it's something God and I can handle. So we, even that faintest fear, so we want to keep close to God and don't try taking things in our own hands when we're feeling like that. A quiver in that regimental line will bring disaster and defeat to the whole army. There must be unfaltering steadiness and bold defiance throughout. Unbelief always begins in little doubts and fears, and God reiterates the command, do not be anxious about anything. Philippians 4:6. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Not with the fiery artillery of hell is our faith first assaulted, but by an army of little moths and their soft touch and velvet wings. Soon our spiritual garment is riddled and ruined before the real fight begins. If we would win in the conflict of faith, we must stand without fear, unfaltering and unmoved, and resist in the imperative mood of victorious confidence. And our confidence comes from the presence of God. When we feel the presence of God, it's His love that we feel. We know that He's sovereign, that He has control over everything. So our prayer is our salvation in situations. Next, there's the active voice of faith. True faith expresses itself in action. It reaches the soles of our feet and steps out in actual movements that prove its reality and sincerity. We read of the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had in Romans 4:12. Faith has stepping stones, so their faith expressed itself first in their stepping into the waters of the Jordan and next in their circuit of Jericho for 7 days. Their faith was not only active, but persistent. They continued to go through the whole testing until it was thoroughly proved and finally triumphant. So our faith must ever step out and claim its blessing until it fully receives it. It was as the lepers went that they were healed. Had they lingered pleading at the feet of Jesus, they never would have been healed. But when they moved forward in obedience to the Master's command, they found His promise awaiting them as they advanced. It was Naaman stepped into the Jordan at the command of Elisha that his healing came. But he had to do it more than once. 7 times he dipped in the, and he had to persevere until his faith was fully proved, and then the answer came. In the midst of his proving that faith often breaks down, it is easy to take one bold step, but a patient continuous in the work of faith tries the inmost soul. Their faith had not only to encompass Jericho, but it was also this that we learn for ourselves, that our faith and our perseverance allow us to stay in the posture of trust so that God can move in our favor. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.